appreciate that. Brother Roger, this may sound, look, he's trying to knock me out over here. I was going to say this may say be sound morbid, but man, you can sing that one at my funeral when I'm gone. Amen. That's that. I'll get up and shout out of that one. What a relevant song for today. Hang on, little children. That's, God just, he's coming. Amen. His will is being done, and all we have to do is find our place in the midst of it and then do what he wants us to do. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and find yourself there at verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. So much to do, so little time to do it. And I believe as we are waiting, we also ought to be working, worshiping, and witnessing for the Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Very familiar setting in the scriptures. You've read it and probably heard me teach or preach it before. But it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Now, many of you know that me and Sister Stephanie, we like to search for gold. We like to pan for gold. It's a lot of work. Asked her. We go on vacation, and three or four days we're wore out more than when we went, because we get out there and we get after looking out under all those rocks and sands and shoveling and digging and moving and scratching and looking and just to find that little piece of gold. Now, we do it not for the value of the gold because we are still poor, but we do it for the fun of finding it. It's just neat to be able to say, "I found some gold in a river." But you know, in my life, I've found something that is better than gold. I love looking for it. I love trying to find it. But I've found in my own personal life that there is something better than gold. And we're going to see that here in our story. Now, there is an event that takes place in the scriptures that I read in one single day that changed the life of an individual. And I begin to think about that. We never know what a day is going to bring. You never know that this morning could be the day that changes you for eternity. It could change your life for the rest of your earthly life here. You see, this individual had somebody that helped him in a situation that he was in. I begin to think about that. I wonder how many people I pass by every day that have a need in their life that God puts in front of me, and I wonder if I really take time to help them find that need, to help them find the answer to their needs. There's people in the world, we meet people in the world every day, they're lost. I know down in Miami on those streets, there were probably hundreds and thousands of people that came by those 70 that were passing out those scriptures. And no telling how many lost people came by their way. You see, Christ understands that there's a lost world out there, and they're passing by us every day. He told us there in Matthew, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He told us in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He told us in Acts chapter 1 that ye shall be witnesses unto me. You see, there's a world of people out there, and their lives and their eternities could be changed in a moment, just like this individual. But if that's going to happen, then we're going to have to submit to the will of God to do our part. I want to look at this story. There are three really characters in the scriptures that I read here. There is a cripple, there are some Christians, and then there's Christ. And I think we can find ourselves in at least one or two of them. So I just want to look at this little thought this morning that I have. There's something better than gold. Something better than gold. I hope you leave today having found that which is better than gold. We see the cripple mentioned there in verses 1 and 2. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. There are some things that stands out about this crippled individual. He's lame, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that at birth, he was born this way. He had a defect. He came into this world with a birth defect that had crippled him. And it had affected his life all the way up until this day here. I thought about this man and I began to wonder, I wonder if I identify with him. And I think I do. You see, I was born with a birth defect also, and it's called sin. The very sin nature. I was born into that sin nature. It crippled me. Sin has crippled me from the life that God wanted for me. No different than this individual. From the very beginning, we inherit the sin nature of Adam, and because of that, we are crippled by it. God created a world and man and woman to be perfect and live in a perfect world, but sin messed it all. It crippled everything. And I was crippled by sin. You were crippled by sin. As this man is pictured here being lame physically, we were all crippled spiritually. But notice also, he is laying by the temple gate Beautiful. This guy, I try to get my mind what it would have been like to live that life. To have grown up and never been able to walk. To watch the other kids play. To watch them run and play all the games, and all you could do is live in your world of crippleness. It had to be a burden. It had to be discouraging. He had to be depressed, living a defeated life. I imagine the other kids, as kids can be, that probably came by and looked at him, and probably he felt like an outcast, to be honest. All his life up to this day, he was looked down upon, an outcast from society because he was crippled by this disease that he was born with. But folks, all of us are outcasts when you think about it. All of us were separated from God. All of us were over there on the sideline with our crippling disease, sin, and all the world looked upon us as outcasts. We were discouraged and depressed. We were disappointed because of the way that sin had made us. I don't know about you, but I remember when I realized that sin was an awful thing, I hated it. I still hate it today. So here's this guy here. He is lame from birth. He is burdened down. And now he is begging at the gate of the temple gate called Beautiful. Somebody had to lay him there. It said that he is brought. He couldn't have walked there by himself. So it tells me that he needed somebody to do something for him. He's begging. He's hoping for a little bit of money or maybe some food. What a terrible way to be. To think that you're just begging for the scraps of this world. In essence, that's what sin has left us to be. I remember over in Albania when we lived over there, especially when we go to Greece, cross the border, there'd be a lot of the gypsy, they just call them gypsies there. And they just wandered between countries over there. Many of them made their living or survived by begging. And especially the children, they would come to the restaurants where you'd be eating your big hamburger or your meal, and they'd just stand right at the table and look at you and go, you know, begging for food. And I remember how touched I was by that. No matter where you went over there, you saw these people begging. They needed somebody to help them sustain life itself. And this guy's no different. All his life, maybe in the very beginning, his parents maybe sat out there at the gate with him. But as he grew older, maybe they even quit doing that. Maybe they just drug him there and dropped him off and put a little box in front of him, or maybe a little pail, hoping that people would come by as he begged for some money and drop it in his little bucket. What a miserable life. You see, he was doomed. I don't know how long he'd been doing this. But he wasn't getting any better. Daily at the temple, but never getting better. Nothing had changed in his life. How miserable, how lonesome, how lost could an individual have felt? That's what sin's done to every one of us. It left us in the same way. Crippled, burdened, begging just for the scraps of this world. And really, when you think about it, bound to an eternity and a life of no hope. Without Christ, there is no hope. And here's this individual here feeling that. So many lost people, we walk by them every day. Shame on me. Shame on every one of you. We walk by them every day. How many people passed him every day? The crowds going to the temple to worship. And there, he just became an ornament, an everyday ornament that people just saw and walked by. So many times I do that to the world around me. I see people and they may be lost, and I just walk right by them. They're crippled. There are so many crippled, spiritually lost people out there, and they're just like you. They're just begging us. Begging us to help them. I'm glad that this crippled, who fills up a portion of the scriptures here, he wasn't left without somebody helping him. Because there are two Christians that walk on the scene, two Christians that the Bible tells us in verse 3, who seeing Peter and John. So here's these two Christians, Peter and John. They're going to the temple. The hour of prayer. There's something special about these two men. Now, I know you know who Peter and John are. You know that they were fishermen, and you know that Peter was loudmouthed, and you know that John seemed to be the one that tried to hold it all together. He's the one that leaned on the breast of Jesus, the disciple whom Jesus loved. But you know, there's some things that really stand out about these Christian men. The first thing that I noticed when I read this is that they are spiritually minded. You see that in verse 3. It says, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple. Notice, they're going to the temple at the hour of prayer. They're going to the temple, why? To worship, to be faithful. I mean, they're going there. It was their habit. It was their routine to go down to that temple. There, when the sacrifice had been offered in the evening, then the people would go and they would praise God and worship Him. I thought about, they had to be spiritually minded. God was on their mindset that day. I asked myself, what would have happened if they would have missed that day? What would have happened if they decided, I'm just not going to go to the temple today? Listen, I got other things. Let's go down to the boats and let's fish a little while. Let's stay home and let's cut the grass. Or, hey, let's go to the park or the mountains. Or let's go down to the mall and shop a little bit. Or, listen, I have family or friends have come over, and I just don't think we're going to go down to that temple today. Can you imagine what would have happened? What they would have missed out on had they not gone down to the temple that day. You see, if we are going to help the lost, crippled, spiritual world today, we've got to be spiritually minded. Our minds have to be on God like theirs were. You see, they were headed to the temple. I've learned that backslidden Christians are not soul winners. You will never win somebody to Christ if you're a backslider. If your mind is not on the things of God and doing what He wants, you're not going to be a witness for Him. I mean, you can miss out coming to God's house. And you can miss one Sunday or two Sundays or four Sundays or six Sundays, but before long, you know what you're going to realize? That you have drifted back and you're not being the Christian that God wants you to be. But here they were going to the temple, so they were spiritually minded. God was on their mind. But not only were they spiritually minded, I like this, they were singly minded. It says that they went up to the temple together. I like this. John and Peter, I wonder which one invited the other one. I mean, here they are, they're friends, they're fishing buddies, they're Christians, and they're soul winners together. Wow, singular mind. They were getting alone going to the house of God. That's pretty neat when you think about it. How many times have we come to the house of God and we hadn't got along with everybody? How many times have we come to the house of God and our hearts were not singular with others? How many times do we come and maybe there's grievances, there's disagreements, there's hard feelings, there's hatred. Maybe we come and there's division, but it wasn't happening there. You see, they came together. There was a unity there. Peter and John, there wasn't any fussing and fighting going on when they were going to the house of God. I've heard horror stories from families and Christians and church members of what they battle to get to church. I've had some, I don't remember what little, I hope it wasn't one of yours, I don't remember what little child told me during the prayer time, pray for mom and dad, they were fighting on the way to church. I thought, wow. They're really going to be spiritually minded today. They're going to blend in a singular purpose and heart to reach the lost. No, here were these guys. They were spiritually minded. They were singly minded. And I like this. They were surveying their surrounding. They saw this guy looking at them, and no doubt they were looking at him. Now, I may be reading this into the story. As others walked by this cripple laying there begging, Peter and John, they see him, see them, and they see him. They're surveying their surroundings. They're looking for an opportunity. Maybe they got up that morning and they prayed, God, use us today to be a blessing to somebody. God, just give me an opportunity. Put somebody in my path, in my life, so that I might be able to witness to them about something that's better than gold. Jesus Himself. Every day God does that in our lives. You know that. He lets somebody come in. Do you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to be looking for them? Me and a young preacher were in seminary in Florida, Lakeland, Florida, and we were cleaning up an old house that had been donated to the church, or to the school there. We were cleaning yards. It was a disaster. We were cutting trees and just doing what we were doing. And I'll never forget, there was a lady watching us from across the road. And after a while, she come over there to me. She said, what you up to? And I told her, well, I'm a young preacher from the church, from the school over here. And this is one of the school's houses, and we're going to clean this thing up. And then I thought, well, and I went back to doing my whatever. And I thought, wait a minute, God just sent her to me. You see, that wasn't an accident. So I said, ma'am, come back over here. And I just asked her, I said, I'm a preacher. I said, I got to ask, do you know the Lord? No, I don't know. I got to witness to that lady there on that sidewalk by that little yard that I was cleaning. I got to lead this lady to the Lord. This other preacher, the whole time he watched me thinking, he's being lazy over there. What's he doing over there just talking to some woman? You see, we got to be surveying the people around us. Look, I wish we lived in a world where you could walk outside and those that were saved had a big S on their head and those that were lost had a big L. Because maybe we would notice them then. But I guarantee you we pass them every day just like they were passing this guy. So they were spiritually minded. They were singly minded. They were surveying their surrounding and they saw a need. They looked at this guy. You think about it. Here's this cripple. He was so close to religion, but religion had done nothing for him. How long did he beg at the gate of this temple? It'd be like somebody laid out on the driveway out there begging for years and years so close to the house of God here. You see, he was so close to religion, but he was still in his same condition. And that's where religion will find you and leave you. You see, religion will say you're okay or you don't need Christ. Religion will say just come in and join our church and you'll be all right. But listen, if you don't have an experience with Christ, if you don't come to him by faith, you're no better than this guy. You are just laying down outside the doors of religion, no better than when it first found you. And here is this individual, he had a need. And I like what they did there in verse 7. They shared what they had. It says, verse 6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold. He was looking for money. But you know what Peter said? Listen, I got something better than gold. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. They offered Jesus to him. Said, we don't have silver and gold. We got something better than that. They offered what they knew they had. They had had Christ. They got personal. They reached in and touched him. The Bible says that they took him by the hand. They got close enough to contact with him. We Christian, we want to stay far away from them, do we not? Those evil, wicked, lost sinners out in the world today, we don't want to get near them. But no, they needed to give him what they already had. And they got close enough to do that. And then they said, look on us. Look on us. See Jesus in us. See what Jesus has done for us. That's what we need to be telling the world. That's what Sunday school is about this morning. Letting people see the Christ in me in such a way that they want him. That they realize that they don't have that. You see, here were two Christian men. Two brothers in Christ. Whose mind was focused on the things of God. Who were singly minded together as a unit. Who were surveying their situation and surrounding, who saw a need and then wanted to share Christ. That's what we're going to do Saturday. When we go out in this neighborhood, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to hopefully knock on doors and hear about needs and see needs and then just share with the people what God's done for you. If he simply saved you, then tell somebody, he saved me from hell. If he saved you and blessed your life, then let them know that. You see, we have this crippled here, and then we have these Christians, and then in a sense, I think Christ shows up because we see the miracle there in verse 7. Notice what takes place. He is cured. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. God, in a miraculous way, put this man's life back together. The problem was the ankle and the feet. There was no strength there. Maybe the muscles did not develop during the pregnancy. Maybe the bones didn't develop. Whatever it was that crippled him, now he is miraculously being healed by Christ. Christ is curing this individual. God is putting him back together as God meant for him to be. And that's what salvation's all about. There's a children's rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. They should have just brought Humpty to Jesus. Because Jesus can put it back together again. He's the only one that can put a family back together. He's the only one that can put a relationship back together. He is the only one that can put dreams back together. He's the only one that can put hopes back together. He's the only one that can put a parent and a child back together. You see, they wanted to get this man to not focus on the gold, but something better than gold. And that's what Jesus can do with the life. You see, he was cured, but he was more than cured. The Bible says that not only can God put us back together again, but he can put us in a place of worship. You notice there in verse 8, and he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the bar, into the house, into some of them. What's it say there? Where did he enter? I've never seen this before. He entered the temple the moment that he was able to walk. You notice where he wanted to go? He wanted to follow these Christian believers into the house of God. That's what happens when a person's life gets touched by God. When you get saved by the grace of God, when that miracle comes in and changes your life, you want to go to the house of God. Something has always bothered me when somebody gets saved or says they're saved and they don't want nothing to do with what we have here. It just doesn't match up. We see him leaping and praising God. He's not praising Peter. He's praising God for what he did. Not only did God cure him, put him back together, give him a new place to go, the temple, but you know God used him. Because notice what takes place in verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. God used him as a living testimony and example to the grace of God. Everybody that had passed him up for many days and many years, they saw this guy. I'm sure it was a commotion. Brother Bob, I don't think he was leaping and praising and in silence or in a low tone. I think he was just turning it loose. I think he was making such a racket when he went there through that gate toward that temple and into that temple that everybody, what's going on? What's happened to that fella? He's getting fanatical back there. You know, it kind of happens when a Baptist shouts amen or praise the Lord in a Baptist church. Everybody turned. Well, what's wrong with them? Everybody took notice. All the people saw this man and what God had done. Many have written him off all his life. You'll never be used. Nothing will come. You'll be a cripple forever. But when God touches and changes a life, God can use that life. How many people are out there in the world today that God wants to use greatly, and he's just waiting for us to go and tell them about Christ? They're looking for all the gold of this world, but we need to tell them there's something better than gold. Silver and gold have I none, but Jesus. But at the name of Jesus Christ, he started off as a lame man in verse 1. In verse 4, he was a looking man. In verse 7, he was a lifted man. And in verse 8, the Bible said he is a leaping man. What a dramatic change in one day. In one moment of his life, everything changed. How many live right around us in these subdivisions and they need that? And God has placed it upon our shoulders and our responsibility to go out into the world and tell them there's something better than gold and what this world can offer. There's Jesus Christ. How many will I pass today or tomorrow and never make mention? How many will look at my life and never see the Christ in my life? You see, the world needs Jesus. And Jesus sent us into the world to tell them about him. There are cripples in every city and land, spiritually crippled with a life that is destined to never get better, to be doomed for all eternity, unless we Christians will carry out the commission that God has given us to go into the world and tell them. And if we do, something miraculous will happen. God can cure them from their sinfulness. He can save them, and he can use them. And they, too, will begin to be witnesses for God. The question is, what are we doing? Are we witnessing on our way through this life? Or do we just journey to the house of God, to our religion, overlooking the needs of all those that are around us? Time's running out. Whoever we're supposed to tell about Christ, we need to get busy with it. Because there is somebody out there who is laying in this world, begging, just looking for somebody to bring them the truth. And that should be us. Bow your head.